Be seated. I bring grace, mercy, and peace to you this morning from God our Father, His beloved Son Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit who calls us into fellowship. So for the past 2 weeks, we've been walking through heaven with the Apostle John and our Lord Jesus Christ, admiring the beauties there. And we looked at some expectations while we are yet here on the earth down here. And for those of you who listen in on those two sermons the past 2 weeks, I believe you had your hopes elevated as some of your questions regarding heaven was answered. Well, in today's reading, our Lord brings us back down here to earth and is preparing us for the end times as he talks about signs of the end times. This topic regarding the end of times is very needful for today's Christians because eschatological thinking has left the mind of the church today. In other words, the idea that this world is coming to an end is almost unheard of today. Preachers are not preaching it. Teachers are not teaching it. The choirs are not singing it. And parents are not talking about it. The system of this world is formulated so that people are thinking of an eternal earth. So we look at the earth, and we look at it instead of looking at it from a temporal perspective, we look at the earth from an eternal perspective. And it is made to look that way. People are thinking that there is no way that this world could possibly fall apart. We look at the years of construction. We look at the advancements in architectural designs. We looked at the creativity of technology, and we look at all of the beauty of it, and we say there is no way that this is going away. There is no way. And we get sucked into it, and we get so moved by it. And so, just like the disciples in our gospel text this morning, admiring the temple, and they drew Jesus to this amazement. And they started to talk about the stones and the beauty of those stones that were made, that were used to build the temple. They look at the construction and they look at the durability of the temple. That it didn't look possible that anything would be able to destroy this temple. Okay? And so they're admiring the temple. And Jesus looks at it and he had a few words to say about this. So Jesus in the gospel text brings us back to engage this truth. The truth regarding the closing of the chapter in time. All right? That a day is coming when time will be no more. When this chapter on the earth is going to close and there will be no more time. So let's look at these prophetic words of our Lord and see how they unfold before our very eyes as I speak to you under the theme this morning, the coming of the end times. The coming of the end times. And so as I said earlier, Jesus and his disciples are at the temple. And they are having a glorious time there. And the disciples got drawn into this construction, the temple's construction. They're looking at the foundation and the stones and the pillars that were made or used to construct the temple. And looking at the beauty that drew Jesus into this, and they start to look at it and talk to him about how magnificent this building looked. And so Jesus had these words to say. So the first thing we want to look at in the gospel text this morning is the assurance of the end times. The assurance of the end times. Jesus says in Luke 21 verse 6, he says, "As for what you see here, the time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." And so first of all, Let me make this clarity that this prophecy was the prediction of what happened in Israel in 70 AD. In 70 AD, the Romans captured the city and destroyed both the city and the temple. Destroying the temple, they broke down every stone that the disciples saw, and everything that Jesus said would happen happened at that destruction, at that invasion. And this was the prediction regarding the destruction of Jerusalem. And you say, well, how does this apply to us? This has happened and it's gone. Well, we bring this into the scene because just as Jesus predicted the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem and how he predicted that everyone in that city or town was going to be taken away into different nations, just as he predicted it, it came to pass, right? The same Jesus predicted that this world will come to an end. You look at some verses, that text that talks about it. First is Mark chapter 13, verse 31. In Mark 13, 31, Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Here it is right there. Heaven and earth will. The world will talks about it being imperative that this world is going to pass away at some point. All right? But his word would not pass away. Another text that talks about it is in 2 Peter 3, verse 10. 2 Peter 3, 10, he says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. All right? The heaven will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. There it is again. There is another prophetic word about this earth, this world, coming to an end in 2 Peter 3:10. Also, we find in Revelation 20, verse 11, Scripture says, then I saw a great white throne, and him who sat upon it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled away, and no place was found for them. This is talking about the actual disappearance of the heavens and the earth. In numerous places in the Bible, we find texts where God talks about how this the sun is going to melt and the moon will turn into blood, and that this earth is going to be destroyed. All right, so all of our aspirations, all of the things that we have achieved in this life, all of the glorious things that we lay our eyes on a regular basis, the Bible is letting us know that a day is coming, and that day is surely going to come when the heaven and the earth will be destroyed. God said it, we believe it, and that settles it, because it's surely going to come to pass on one of these days. So we can be assured of this future event, because just as he said it, and it came to pass for Jerusalem, so it shall happen for all of us on some day to come. So we cannot put our hopes in this life. All right? This life is temporal. This life is just but for a moment. And we can understand this as we lose loved ones who have come through and gone out. Now, all of us in this world, someday we exit this earth. And the earth itself someday will come to an end and cease to exist. As we live this world, we need to understand this reality and place no trust in this now, because this life promises nothing. It promises no future. It promises nothing in eternity. All that we have now is for here and is for now, and it's going to go away at some point. So we talk about the assurance of the end times. Now let's talk about the alertness of the end times. In Luke chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, the disciples says, teacher, they ask, when will all these things happen? And what would be the sign that they are about to take place? Jesus replied, watch out that you are not deceived. For many will come in my name, claiming I am he. And the time is near. Do not follow them. Do not follow them. Notice that Jesus did not give his disciples the exact time of his coming. He did not do that, but rather he gave them signs of the end times. He gave them signs of the end times. Why? Because in the order of things in heaven, he is not allowed to know the time. He, Jesus, doesn't know the time. He writes in Mark 13, verse 32. He writes these words, but about the day or hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father knows. Only the Father knows the time when his Son, Jesus Christ, will return to the earth. All right? And so we can say, obviously, that the time is imminent. The time of Jesus' return is imminent. We don't know when that's going to happen. It could happen now while we are in church, since it's imminent. It could happen tomorrow. It could happen while some of you are doing your business transactions. It could happen while you are driving down the street or in a flight. It could happen at any moment. Nobody knows when the time is, because the time is imminent. And because the time is imminent, this is the reason why we need to have the return of Jesus on our minds. No matter what you're doing, no matter where you are, no matter what things look like at a moment in life, you need to always, at all times, have the return of our Lord and Savior on your minds, since we don't know when he's going to come. Now, we've heard folks talk stuff like, you know, my great-great-grandparents talk about this return of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he ain't come yet. I don't think he's coming. This is just some joke. You know, we think that way, but you got to understand one thing, folks, that the Bible tells us that 1,000 years is like one day in the eyes of God. And so what looks long to us is not long to God. It is short of a time, and we're going to see him come bursting through these clouds one of these days. But we don't know when that time is. And just because we don't know when that time is, it doesn't tell us the time. We shouldn't take it lightly. We should take it seriously. Because Jesus, over and again in the gospel, he gives so many parables that talked about his back and how it's going to happen surprisingly. So we don't know when it is. And so as we go about our daily tasks, we must always have in the back of our minds that return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing he speaks about in this alertness of believers, he says, watch out that you be not deceived. Watch out that you be not deceived. Why? Deception is an invasive scheme of the devil against the church today. All right? It is used to attack the truth. The devil uses deception to attack the truth. If Satan can get pastors and teachers to preach anything but the truth, he's fine. So long as it is not the truth, he is fine. Why is Satan attacking the truth? He's attacking the truth because only the truth is able to set men free. That's the only thing that can set men free. People want to go to churches where the message is just so soft, and the message are able to only itch their ears. The message will only talk about situations that are going on in their lives, and that's all, and give them encouragement. The message doesn't talk about sin. The message doesn't talk about the cross of Jesus Christ. The message doesn't talk about God who came into this world and died on the cross so that we can have eternal life. The message talks nothing about that. People walk away not hearing the truth, and nothing is happening in their lives. Folks, listen to me. Jesus came for one reason. He came to die so that you can have life. He came and died on the cross for sin. And if he died for sin, he came so that we can live to eternity. And so if this is not the message in the church that you attend, I will ask you to leave that church and find a church where the true gospel of Jesus Christ is preached. Find a church where the gospel and the message of truth is coming through Bible studies. Find a church where you can grow in the stature and the fullness of God's grace, because someday is coming when all of these things that we have earned and all of the things we have achieved in this life is going to come to an end. And when you stand up after the dust settles, the only thing that's going to be left is the living word of God. Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. If you want to have eternity, have the word of God. Have the word of God. So Satan is attacking the truth, and we need to be very concerned about it, because he wants men to go into everlasting damnation. You can try everything from drink to drugs. You can try everything from bucks to lusts. You'll never find the truth in any of those things. Because only one man gives the truth, and his name is Jesus Christ. And until he enters the heart of a man, you cannot find that transformation. Until he enters the heart of a man, you cannot find the freedom that you lack. It is only in Jesus. How do we stay alert is the question. We stay alert by knowing the word of God. We stay alert by knowing the truth. Find the church where the true scripture is being taught and learn God's word. He says, many will come in my name, claiming I am he. And the time is near. He says, do not follow them. Do not follow them. Why? We got an example of this happening around us today. This is relevant. This is happening today in our world. All around the world, we have people who have claimed to be Jesus Christ. We have them in the Philippines. There's a guy in the Philippines called Apollo, and he is going around claiming to be Jesus Christ. And this guy has over 6 million followers as we speak right now. People are following him and worshiping him as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Look at this deception. Look at the number of people that are on their way to hell because someone have deceived them. Jesus says, do not follow them. You know why, folks? Listen, because I know that the day that our Lord and Savior will return, when he comes, the Bible says that all eyes will see him because he's coming bursting through the clouds. He's not coming through some town or village any longer. This time he's coming through the clouds and every eye shall see him just as he is. Give God a hand of praise for that. And that's the Jesus we are waiting for. No other Jesus but the one who's going to come bursting through the clouds. The next thing we notice here also is that people are giving false dates about the return of Jesus Christ. There's a guy called Harold Campion, the late Harold Campion. He has died. The former host of Family Radio. He came on the radio and he claimed that Jesus will return on May 21st, 2011. And he had a lot of people petrified by that date. And people were going in the grocery stores, buying groceries and taking them home. I can't understand the concept. If Jesus is coming, why are you buying groceries? But people were buying groceries and stocking it up in their homes. And I remember one of my sisters calling me, very concerned about this. She said to me, well, what if this is true? I said, this cannot be true. This will never be true. She said, aren't you afraid? Why must I be afraid? When Jesus told me that no man knows the time that he's going to come. I said, let me tell you something. I told my sister this. Even if God had decided to come on the 21st of May, he's going to change that. Why? Because a man had prophesied that he's coming, and the word of God says no one knows the date. All right. So the 21st of May, 2011 came, and nothing happened. And then he came back on the radio and said he missed the date. The actual date was October 31st, 2011. Well, by this time, everybody knew he was a fool. And nobody followed him any longer. All right? But you got people making these claims. They're not following the true orthodox scripture that God has given to us, telling us what the truth is and reading it for themselves. They're listening to the stories from men. So we just talked about the assurance of the end times. We talked about the alertness of the end time. Lastly, let's talk about the activities of the end times. In Luke 21, verse 9, it reads, when you hear of war and uprising, do not be frightened. These things must happen first, but the end will not come right away. Now, here in the United States, we experience four seasons, all right? And each year we experience four seasons. And so these seasons come, but before they come, there are signs of the time. We see things happening to let us know that the season is changing or is about to come. When you see the leaves falling from the trees, you know that you are in the fall season. But then you know that winter is about to come. If you went to the grocery stores, you see that they have changed everything in the grocery stores. And they have jackets in the grocery stores so that you can buy them. Because why? The winter is coming. All right? When Christmas is coming, you go in the grocery stores, you can sense the presence of Christmas as you enter those stores because they're preparing for it because it's coming. The season is near. Jesus speaks about the seasons of the end times, or what we call the signs of the end times. And in the gospel text this morning. So when we often hear preachers say that we are close to the end of time. And this tells us when they say that it's because they are watching the series of events unfolding before their eyes. All right? We see the things that are happening. We read the scripture and we see the things that are happening, and we tell you that the time of the coming of the Lord is near. All right? John the Baptist, when he preached, he told the people at that time that the coming of the Lord is near. All right? And Jesus came, and he was preaching about his first coming. And Jesus came, and he baptized, and he did all those things and brought people into faith in God, died on the cross, and gave the whole world new life, went back to heaven, right? And so now we are preaching that he's coming back, all right? And his coming back is near because of the signs of the end time. In verse 10 of the text, he talks about the rising of nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. We've seen this happen already. You had World War I and World War II. And you have these different segments of wars happening around the world, even today in our time and age. All right? We've seen wars happen in nations all around the world. We've experienced that. Jesus Christ talked about, in verse 11, the great trials and tribulations. He talks about earthquake. All right? We've seen earthquake in Asia. Earthquake in California. Earthquakes are happening all around the world today. Terrible earthquakes that are taking the lives of millions of people. He talked about farming happening as well. And farming are happening, even though in America we have surplus food, but farming are happening all around the world. People are suffering. As we are sitting here this morning, people around the world don't have food to eat. And as I talked about this, I went online to check the statistics of countries that are suffering. And I've seen 10 countries that are seriously suffering right now with hunger. All right? And unfortunately, one of the countries I've seen on that list is the country where I'm from, Liberia. They are the sixth on that list. Just got on the list. Just made the list. Because things are going so bad there because of the way they are governing the country. People are suffering. So these things are happening just like Jesus said. He talked about pestilences. Pestilences. He talked about plagues that will happen around the world. We heard about the Ebola virus that entered Africa and claimed many lives. We know about the AIDS virus that came in and claimed many lives. These are pestilences that Jesus predicted that will happen in our time and age before the end comes. But he tells us that as all these things are happening, we should not be afraid because the end will not come yet. And so this is where people are seeing the signs, but the end has not come, and they're worrying, they're saying stuff like, man, this is not going to happen. Well, he predicted that wars will happen. He predicted that pestilences will happen. He predicted that there will be earthquake. And we've seen all these things happen before our very eyes. Now tell me, why wouldn't the end come? It's going to come. But he says, not yet. And he knows the reason why he is telling us not yet. So great signs from heaven, the Bible talks about. I guess we have not yet seen that. I guess it is the time when the moon will turn into blood and the sun will burn like fire. And that sun, when God sets the sun on fire, I think it is that sun that is going to burn the whole earth when that time comes. All right? We are still waiting for that to happen. It hasn't happened yet because it's going to happen in the end. After I guess God has taken his elects away. All right? So verses 12 through 16, he warns us about the pending persecution that will happen. He warned them that persecution will take place. And these persecutions have happened already because many of the early church saints died, all right, through persecution. Many of them were killed by fire, burned in hot oil, pierced and killed. And they died upside down on crosses. All these things happened to them, all right, because of the sick of the gospel. We see this happening. Jesus has talked about it. In verse 17 of the text, he warned them about being hated because of him. Hatred because of him. This is something we are seeing in the world today. All right? People have fled their countries and fled their families because of Jesus Christ. They have gone away from them because why? Of the persecution they are facing at home. They had to run away from their homes and their families because of the persecution. It is even happening here in the United States that we don't know about, in Muslims' home, where Muslims got converted to Christianity, and their family disowned them and called them infidels because of the name of Jesus Christ. We see this happening over and again around us. So all of these predictions that Jesus gave, these prophetic predictions, have come to pass. In verse 18, he promised eternal protection. He says that not a hair of your head will perish. Not a hair of your hair will perish. He promised them protection as they do the work of God. But then this is so contradicting, because he told the disciples not a hair on your head would perish, but then they got killed anyways. So what does that mean? Jesus was not talking about a temporal protection. All right? He was talking about an eternal protection. Not a hair of your head would be destroyed. You see, we live in this world, and God has given us a body to live in this environment. But this is not where you end, my folks, my friends. All right? This is not the end of you. This body dies because this body is a sinful and lives in a sinful environment. All right? As we age out, the body ages out, and the body fades away, and we exit out. And I told you last week that every time you celebrate a birthday, you're just 1 year closer to your grave. That's all it is. And we're excited about it. Oh, I'm 50 now. I'm 51. I'm 40 this. Whatever it is, you're only step closer toward the grave. That's all it is. We are fading out. And the number is there to let you know that you are fading out. Period. Okay? So we have this body we are wearing, and the body is with us because we have to make physical contact while we are in a physical world. That's why God gave us the body to wear. All right? But because the world is sinful and everything in it, and the body is in it, the body is going to have to die at some point. But listen, you do not die. The real you lives, and the real you gets out of this body, and the real you gets out of this body and goes into heaven to God or to hell. Because there are two places there. And every time they roll a coffin in the church and have this beautiful message, the question I'm always asking, where is this person right now? Where is he or where is she? Okay? Where is she or where is she? Because why? The only way we can get to heaven is not by being placed in a beautiful coffin. It's not by being dressed up or having a beautiful service for this person. It's by having your faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For there is no name under heaven by which man can be saved but the name of Jesus. And at the sound of his name, every knee shall bow. Every tongue will confess one day that he, Jesus, is Lord. And so scripture lets us know, and he warns us about these things. But he says that the hair on the head will not be hurt. What is Jesus saying? He says, when you exit this body, if they persecute you or kill you because of me, he said, you will exit this body and you will get right in my very presence. Because absent from the body, scripture says, is present with the Lord. All right? You get right before the Lord and you realize, oops, I'm still here. Nothing happened to me. And this time, you have moved from the realm of the temporal into the realm of the eternal. And so Jesus is telling us not to worry about the way they treat us. Not to worry about the way they think about us. But we must go out and share the gospel in the world that is dying. God does not want us to stay indoor. He wants us to get outdoor and preach the gospel to the people out in the world. They will hate us, but we shouldn't stop preaching. We need to keep telling them the truth, because that's the only way a dark world is going to be able to come to the light. It's when the church goes out. If we stay in and hide our lamps under the table, nobody's going to see it burning. People are going to see it burning when we get out in the world and tell people that Jesus is Lord, that he has come to bring eternal life to all men. And I pray that as we wait for his coming, which is imminent, which could be right now or tomorrow or 10 years from now, we don't know when, but as we wait for that time, I pray that we gear ourselves up and be on the alert, knowing that Jesus could show up anytime. But when he shows up, we want him to greet us and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And so as we wait for that time, let us become more alert about what is going on around us and become more vigilant about sharing our faith in a world that is dying. I pray that as you do this, know always, God will never bring you so far and leave you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and all God's people say, amen. Amen.